Hey, it's Molly Webster. I have a surprise for you. Next month, myself and producer Mona Medgaukar are going to do an AMA about our snail sex tape episode. You can ask us anything about snails and the behind the scenes of making an episode work. How long did it take us to make? How did we come up with the sound effects? Why are snails and slugs related? The AMA will be on April 16th, and in order to come, you have to be a member of the lab. So go to radiolab.org/join right now, sign up, use the code word snail to get a discount on your membership. And also, if you sign up now, you get a snail enamel pin. If you're already a member of the lab, come to the AMA. Thank you for listening. Can't wait to see you there, April 16th.
Quiet.
You're listening to Radio Lab.
The podcast
from
New York Public Radio.
Public Radio,
WNYC.
And NPR.
Hello, I'm Jad Abumrad.
Hello, I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radio Lab, the podcast.
Which means it's not the broadcast.
Not the one-hour show.
No, not the one-hour show.
It's like a little tidbit.
This is a tidbit, but this is a tidbit with a teasing purpose. Because
yes.
We have, in the next few weeks, we are going to do the real shows about race, and there's one about choice. There's one, however, entirely devoted to the subject of sperm. And sperm, you think, well, why would you spend so much time talking about that?
Yes, in fact, it's very sad. Sad, lonely show. But anyhow, go on.
We learn a lot of things. I mean, if you open up any little basket and ask too many questions, you learn all kinds of fascinating
things. So true, particularly with sperm.
Yes. So we talked when we were preparing this hour with a woman named Joanna Ellington, a fertility expert who runs a company with a very short name, kind of like sperm itself, Ing, I-N-G. It's a fertility firm. And I asked her, if you are a healthy male at the very top of your game, so you got everything you're ever going to have and they're all frisky little guys ready to go, what proportion of your gang would be fit and ready to do the deed?
A normal ejaculate from a man is if you have 14% or more of the sperm that are normally shaped. That's a very low percent.
And 86% are abnormally shaped?
Yeah.
How do they differ from the normal?
Typically, you're going to have problems with the tail, and then that makes it so they can't swim right. They swim in a circle, can't swim fast.
Some of them swim in a circle?
Mm-hmm.
You mean when they go bang and off you go, they just go round and round and round and round?
Right, and that doesn't work very well, of course.
Okay, circles, slow. Anything else?
Yeah. As the sperm get ready to be ejaculated, the tail unwinds from around the cell. And sometimes it doesn't unwind right. It stays wound up, or the very tip of the tail stays in a knot, I guess you could say, basically.
So you got a knot on your tail.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got some stalled out, some going in circles, some going slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Are there horror mutant sperm?
Yeah, there's one called globospermia, and that is a very large round head. It's maybe 3 or 4 times normal size, and instead of having that oval, it's just quite round looking.
So that's like a balloon head, mm-hmm. Big fat balloon head.
Yeah, exactly. You can have sperm that have vacuoles, which are basically holes in the DNA. You can have sperm that have 2 tails.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Isn't that better?
No. You don't want anything abnormal.
Are there double-headed ones?
Yes, absolutely.
Are there triple-headed ones?
Probably some.
This is making me nervous. Anything else?
Some of them are going to be dead and not moving at all.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. In addition to that, there's many, many microbiochemical things that they have to go through. So if you were to actually write down everything that could go wrong with sperm as it goes to meet the eggs, it would be hundreds of little enumerations that could go wrong. But that's why men make sperm all the time. They constantly are making it. They constantly have a fresh supply. You've got to have something that can go through all the hurdles and all the barriers and make sure at the end of the day that you have the best, healthiest sperm cell that's participating in making a baby.
When you say, Jed, that it's lonely.
It's like, sad. That's sad.
With odds like that. Remember, this is when you're healthiest.
I know.
When you're healthiest.
What I don't get, though, is like, how does it, well, this is what we're going to go into the show, but I'll just ask you now, happen given all of those potential pitfalls, and that every sperm is outracing the other sperm.
That's all, the public image here is that every guy that you put in a Woody Allen movie sense competing against his neighbor.
Right.
So it's Jerry versus Ted versus Andy versus Mark versus Freddie versus Billy, and they're all rushing to the goal.
And what if Jerry and Ted and Mark and Fred or whoever and Billy are all double-headed with
well, then they don't make it. So
it's the odds are not in our favor.
But there is a level of cooperation we discovered while doing this hour that was deeply surprising. Sperm are not always about competing against each other. And this we learned from Tim Burkhead, who's a biologist at the University of Sheffield. He told us the story about it was a wood mouse, a W-O-O.
Not a could mouse.
Not a could mouse. Or a should. No.
Not a should mouse.
This was a wood mouse. Yes, wood mouse, which is actually a gift wood mouse.
My colleague Harry Moore, who's a sperm biologist here in Sheffield, his cat brought in a wood mouse and laid it on the dining room floor. And he looked at it and thought, gosh, that's got large testicles. He dissected it.
That's the most unusual reaction to a cat's gift that I've heard in a long time.
I'll say.
You know, if you're a testicle guy, you're a testicle guy,
you
right?
want to take a closer look.
Anyway, so he dissects the mouse and then carefully removed the sperm inside. And then he looked at the shape of the sperm. This was interesting.
All rodents, the sperm has a slightly hooked shaped head. But in the wood mouse, that hook is extreme, so much so that the hook bends right back and touches the head again. And what Harry noticed was that it looked as though the hook was a specific adaptation to grasp the tails of other sperm.
This sperm on its head was a kind of grasping hook, which suggested that maybe this sperm wanted to hold hands with something.
Harry put the sperm into a kind of special sperm medium, and to his amazement, the sperm all joined up together in what he called sperm trains.
Sperm, T-R-A-I-N-S?
Yes, like in a railway train. The tails of other sperm were held by this hook.
And it's just head to tail, head to tail?
It's a bit messy. It's a bit like spaghetti moving forward.
Okay.
The amazing thing is, when he measured the speed at which the sperm trains moved, it was about twice that of isolated sperm.
But wait a second. If me and 700 others of us, or 10 of us, get together at the head and swim together, our tails all increasing our speed, who gets to be the daddy sperm?
In the wood mouse, some of the sperm undergo what's called the acrosome reaction, releasing this hook. And when that happens, those sperm can no longer fertilize, but they free a vanguard of sperm that then can fertilize.
And then they give up for their brethren?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wow. So then it's not fair to say that down there at the sperm level, it's every sperm for himself. In a few cases, the sperm is there for the other guy.
Yeah. But they're all part of the same ejaculate, all got roughly the same genetic makeup. All those sperm are related, so they all have more or less a common interest.
So
see?
Who would help each other out. Yeah, I mean, this is different. However, it is at this point just specific to the wood mouse.
Right.
So wood mouse sperm seem to have a thing going on amongst themselves. And the idea that a sperm would sacrifice itself for a brother sperm is very novel when you think about how normally this is thought of as such a competitive event.
That's right. Well, in any case, we hope you'll tune in for that show. It's coming up in about a month and a half.
It's not really a month and a half if you're listening to this late in the week.
True.
It's a month and 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
It's a month and a half. It's a month. It's so short. It's really 5 weeks from now, going on 4 weeks. And before you know it, it'll be 3 weeks.
Do you see what I deal with?
Not
Soren, can you take him down, please?
You can't take me down.
Just to pot him down, please.
Hey.
In any case, so visit our website, radiolab.org. You can find out more about anything on our website. And also, we should say, we should give thanks. We are funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Hey, take him down. The National Science Foundation and the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, who this month is honoring Flash of Genius, the winner of the 2008 feature film prize in science and technology at the Hamptons International Film Festival. I'm Jad Abumrad. Okay, you can put him back up now.
Albert Krolwich.
We'll see you soon.
Very soon.